Father, we come now and we ask for your understanding of your word. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would be able to understand the words that you are speaking to us today, that we would be able to take them in, that we would be able to act upon them, that we would be able to live our daily lives indeed according to your will, and incorporate these things from your word in our daily life. Make us victorious, and Lord, give us understanding both of the authority we have and of the authority we are under. And these things we ask humbly in the name of Christ, our Redeemer and our Lord. In His holy name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Today's message, the issue of authority, part one, cleaning house. How long will a bum hang around? The answer is, as long as you let him. How long will a bully somebody? As long as you let him. And that's more or less the theme of our message today. I remember a story that we used to tell. I think it was an object lesson with accompanying pictures. Some little boy, we'll call him Johnny, and one night he heard a knock at his heart's door. And he said, "Who's there?" And the voice answered, "It's Envy." And he said, "What do you want?" And Envy said, "I'd like to come in and spend the night." And Johnny said, "Well, you don't sound like a very good person to me. I don't know that I want to let you in." And Envy said, "It's just for tonight. I promise I'll leave first thing tomorrow morning." So Johnny said, "Well, just as long as it's just for tonight." And so he let Envy in. But when the time came the next morning for Envy to leave, Envy didn't leave. Envy said, "Can I stay just one more day?" And Johnny said, "Well, I reckon, but just one more day." And so Envy stayed that day and that night, and when the next morning came, Johnny says, "It's time to go," and Envy says, "Oh no, I'm home now. I'm not going anywhere." And not only that, day after day, Johnny would say, "You need to leave." And he'd say, "No, I'm not going anywhere." And not only that, he went and got some of his friends. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, a whole bunch of them. And they were having wild parties inside of Johnny's heart. And he would yell at them, "Leave, leave, leave." And they would just laugh at him. And so one day, Johnny was in church, and the preacher was talking about how the enemy will come and, you know, put wrong things in our heart, but how the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood so that we wouldn't have to have these things in our heart anymore. And that if we will ask Jesus to come in fully, when Jesus comes in, all of these other things will go away. And so Johnny began to understand what was happening to him, and when the invitation was given, he went forward and he asked the Lord Jesus to move in and to completely take over his heart and his life. And the Lord Jesus did, and when Envy saw Jesus, and bitterness and anger, and all of his buddies saw Jesus, they ran away as fast as they could go, and Johnny never saw him again. And Jesus took up permanent residence in Johnny's heart. And he didn't have any more trouble with Envy or any of Envy's other buddies. Now this tells us about authority. And so that's what we want to talk about briefly this morning. And if you are one of those who like to take the notes or fill in the blanks, now would be the time to do it. I want to talk about a few basics of spiritual authority. There's authority in the natural realm, and then there's authority in the spiritual realm. And when we become believers, we receive spiritual authority, because now we are under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want to talk about. And we may have a few bums living in our heart today, and it is time to kick them out. But the secret that a lot of people don't know is you're the only one that can do it. Now, let's go through a few basic principles of spiritual authority. Principle number one, every believer possesses spiritual authority. If you have no authority in this realm, we're dead, like Bennett was saying, when we're in our sins and we're out there in the world. But the minute we become a believer, the minute the Lord Jesus Christ moves in and we are now under Him, I now have spiritual authority. I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love, serve, and know the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no authority within myself, but I have authority because I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given me authority as a believer to tell the devil, get out, leave, and, you know, don't let the door hit you. Remember Mr. Jefferson on the Jefferson years ago? And that is the authority, not that we would do it haughtily, but that we wouldn't do it pussyfooting around either. He has given us that authority. Jesus said on one occasion, get behind me, Satan. We don't understand the authority we have as believers. If you're really a believer, now make sure you're really saved, you're really in the Lord and really under the blood, but if you belong to Jesus, you already possess spiritual authority, and you do not have to allow the enemy or any of his minions to be bossing you around or messing with your mind. You do not have to allow it. And one of the old tricks of the enemy is to make us think that we still have... No, we're under new management. We don't obey those rules anymore. Number two, the believer's authority is based on... What is my authority? I already have it. What is my authority as a believer based on? Whether Amos Eby or Ray Davis or Bill Osmond or Tommy Sullivan or anyone else. What is my authority based on as a believer? Number one, God's Word. If I'm walking in obedience to the Word of God and keeping with the Word of God, His Word is the final say, not what the devil says. Can I hear an amen? One of our big problems is we give more credence to what the devil says than what the Lord says. My authority is based on the Word of God, which cannot be broken, and is the final authority. Also on Christ's redemptive work, which we're going to celebrate this morning in the communion. Because He died for my sins. Because He paid it all. Because He's justified me. Made me a new creature in Him. Made me one of His children. Through His redemptive work, that is His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and His ongoing high priestly work on our behalf. That is also a basis for my spiritual authority. See our position in Christ. I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. Read Ephesians chapter 1. I think the student ministry is in that right now. Read it over and over and get it in your DNA. Who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you don't know who you are, then you won't act like who you really are. If you think you're in bondage, you're going to act and think like you're in bondage. Am I right? If you know who you are and you're free, then you're going to walk as someone who is free. Our position in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's D. The power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses. And this power is power for also living victoriously in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, believe me, we've got adequate authority. All right, now this one's important. Number three. To be functional, authority must be exercised. Authority's no good if you won't use it. Authority's no good if you won't exercise it. That's why we have people in charge at certain places. How many ever heard a police whistle? At that moment, the policeman is exerting his authority. How many have seen some blue lights and heard a siren behind your car? And at that moment, the policeman is exerting his authority. How many, don't raise your hand, were ever called into the principal's office? I tell you, he was getting ready to exert his authority. How many of you, and this is in the old days, ever got a beating from your mom or your dad? They were exerting their authority. See, parents today have authority, but they won't exert it because they're told that the kids are the ones that ought to be in charge, and they believe it. Woo! I could start preaching, but that's a different sermon for a different day. But to be functional in any of us, it's got to be. So exert your spiritual authority and use it in the name of the Lord to be free, because the bum will stay around as long as you let it, and the bully will bully until you stand up to him. Number four, God will not exercise our spiritual authority for us. I'm sorry, but he will not do it. He gave it to you, and it is yours to exercise. What would you think if you gave your child a cell phone and you said, now this cell phone is yours to use, and then every time they wanted to make a call, they made you dial the number? Huh? I gave you this thing to use. You give them a car. Some of my granddaughter's friends, she's 16, Christina, been calling her. I got a car for my birthday. I got a truck for my birthday. What if mom and dad gave the child a car and then they still wanted mom and dad to take them everywhere? Doesn't work that way. God will not exercise my spiritual authority for me. It's up to me to exercise it. When the enemy comes around and starts messing with me, I'm the one that has to stand up to it. The Lord's not going to do it for me. But he's given me the authority in order that I may do so. And I need to do so. He expects me to do so. Number five, the first place where spiritual authority must be exercised is in our own lives. We're always so worried about everybody else. There's a time and there's a place. But first of all, spiritual authority right here, right here. What am I allowing in my life that shouldn't be there? I have the authority to get rid of it. I have the authority to give it walking orders. And if I'm not doing it, it is my own fault that I'm still in bondage. So let's look at a few other related, more practical offshoots of these principles. Number one, some of the attitudes and baggage from the old life are still present in the believer and will seek to assert themselves from time to time. Now, I will ask for a show of hands on that one. How many have found it to be so? The old man or the old ways like to assert themselves from time to time. I am saved, I am born again, I am cleansed, I am washed in the blood, and I am justified by faith. But that's positionally by God's legal declaration. But the old nature is still present, and the old nature likes to assert itself. And I will tell you this about the old nature, because I know both by experience and from the Word, when will it assert itself? And again, anytime it can. Any way it can. And even as believers, sometimes we surprise ourselves. Did I say that? Was I really that upset? Was I really that angry? Oh, yeah. Because it will assert itself anytime it can. As believers, we must be aware of this and constantly be on our guard. Now, I have a little word there, and I was going to delete it because that note's for me, but it says Roundup. Is it on there? Anyway, I guess it isn't on the one up on the screen. But my wife at the house has a big thing of something called Roundup. Now, how many have seen the ads for Roundup on TV, huh? And she's out there, and she's... And the weeds keep coming up, but she's out there with that Roundup, and she is killing those weeds. She's breaking it out. So we need to be aware of that. The old nature's still around. It's going to assert itself, but we've got the Roundup, folks, and we can take care of it just through the Word of the Lord. Number two. Now, this one's really important. You may not believe this, but it's true. Anything that resides within us, like our story when we started out today, anything that resides within us on a continual basis is there by our permission. You got hurts you never healed from when you were a kid. Some resentment or anger issues with parents or other people. You got an anger problem. You got an immorality problem. You got whatever it is. Whatever it is that is residing in you on a continual basis, it is there because you haven't thrown it out. It is there by your permission. How long will it stay until you get rid of it? This is one of the best kept secrets in Christian circles. I don't know why we don't understand this. Nobody can do it for me. I can go to my psychiatrist and I can get my little pill and I can go to my counselor month after month and we can talk about it and we can analyze it and we can take little steps here and there. But until I say I am a child of God, I am a child of the King, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you, old hurt that will not go away, you have no business here anymore, you will not hold me in bondage anymore, and in Jesus' name, I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. I am God's child, and I will not put up with your presence here anymore. So get gone and be gone. And you have the authority to do it. And you say, yeah, but he might try to come back. Then tell him again. Might try to come back. Tell him again. But if you use, I'm telling you, has to, has no choice. Did Jesus cast out devils? How did he cast them out? With authority of the Word. And that's the same way we get rid of that kind of trash and that kind of riffraff. Now, it's fine to have other people pray for you. But no, no, no. On issues like that, you're the one who has to say, Satan, I know who you are. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And begin to claim the Word of God. Because God's Word is God's Word. It's not your Word. It is God's Word. Now, you can't dictate what others do. But in your own life, you have that authority. You can pray for others. But you can actually get the enemy out of your life by using the Word of the Lord. Number three. Satan is a liar and a bully. We know that, right? Jesus said he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will try to make us believe there is nothing we can do about our hurts, ungodly feelings, and bad attitudes. The fact is, nothing could be further from the truth. We have bought all this stuff about there's nothing you can do about it, No. And there are many who can tell you, once they begin to understand the Word of God and begin to act on the authority God gave them, they were totally set free from things that had plagued them for years, even things in many cases that they were on medication for, things that they had never been able to fight. They had been in programs. There are many substance abusers. I was involved with such a program down in Puerto Rico like Teen Challenge, and many of them could tell you they had been through every program there was. They had been through the methadone program. They had been through the government programs, but it wasn't until they met Jesus Christ that they were really set free. And they really were. So, I'm telling you, we have the authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. And number four, knowing and exercising our spiritual authority as believers, and I'm talking about today, especially in our own lives, is the key to victorious living in Christ. So I'll close today just saying, what is there that I need to be getting rid of? What are the things in my own heart or life today that I need to give walking orders? Do you really know, believe, and understand that the Lord has given you this authority? I have related scriptures down at the bottom of that page. If you want to really fill yourself with the Word of God on this subject, just take those passages, read them, study them, believe them, act on them, and God will give you a level of freedom you've never had before. He's just asking for you to exercise it. He's already given it to you, and He'll back you all the way. And it's all based, really, ultimately, on the sacrifice Jesus did for us. By His stripes, we are what? Healed. By His sacrifice, we are set free. That's exactly why He came. He did not come so we could continue to live in bondage. And was that not one of the verses that we read today? And I'll end with it. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. That's just another way of saying it. Use the authority He's given you. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today for the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the authority that You have given us as believers. And my prayer today, Lord, for all of our believers here at South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church, is that You will begin to work in individual hearts. And those who have fought with certain things for years, and those that have been bound by certain things for years, and those who still have hurts they've never gotten over, I pray that You will take the words of this message today and Your own word, Lord, and that You will begin to bring about a transformation inside their heart, inside their spirit, and that You would teach them and that they would know and understand that by virtue of their union with Christ and who they are in Christ, they do not have to be in that bondage any longer, and they can take that authority in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Now help us to use it wisely and help us to use it only as You have prescribed it. But nonetheless, let us use it effectively. For Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will always do its work efficiently and effectively. So teach us this, Lord, today. And teach us that because of what Jesus did on the cross and the blood He shed and His now resurrected life and His continual ministry for us at the Father's right hand, we are free. Thank You, Lord. Bless us now as we partake of the communion together. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anything in your heart or your life this morning you'd like to mention or have prayer about or just share, or even a praise you'd like to share, feel free to do that during our hymn here, and then we'll all partake of communion together.
Closing hymn is number 310, Lead Me to Calvary. Let's stand together and let's sing. The first verse reads, King of my life, I crown thee now. Let there be none other in my life except the Lord Jesus. Number 310. King of my life, I crown thee now.
May be seated. I'll ask the deacons to come forward at this time. Just before we take communion, I don't think Roy will mind me sharing what he shared. He said years ago, he had a really bad foot injury. Some of you remember that. And he was on a number of medications at the time. And he would come and we'd counsel together. And he was telling me one day about these voices that would come into his head and tell him to do some pretty awful things, and I told him what to do. I told him how to address it, and he said he did, and he's been free ever since.
Amen.
Amen. So it does, amen. God's word in your mouth carries just as much authority as God's word anywhere else because it's God's word.
Amen.
Amen. And he said, you taught me something else. He said, I was always praying for everybody else, and I thought it was selfish to pray for myself. But you told me it was fine to pray for myself too. Amen. Hey, I was listening to that song the other day. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord. Sometimes we're the one that need it the most. Well, let's read this little passage here. This was written by the Apostle Paul, and he wrote this about the Lord's Supper to the church at Corinth. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So the message of the scripture is clear. It is because of the shed blood of Jesus. It is because of his sacrifice at the cross. That is how sin is paid for. That is how sins were atoned for. And that is the one place in the whole universe where there is cleansing and forgiveness. And we are told to continually go back to that because that's our point of reference. We're still growing in the Lord and we're moving on and many other things. But we always have to go back to that point because that is the place where our sins were actually paid for. And that's what our salvation is based on today. If you're sitting here and you're saved, it has nothing to do with your church attendance, your good works, or anything else. It just has to do with what Jesus did on that cross for you and for me. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the free gift of salvation that is offered to us because of what Jesus did. And we thank you that along with him, we get his life, we get his power, we get his even authority, we get everything that he is, we get at the moment we receive him. And we thank you that he paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All sins were covered. All sins were atoned for. All sin was that day. All of your righteous demands were satisfied when he gave his life there at that cross. So, Lord, today we come to think of this again, to dwell on this again, to celebrate this again, and to proclaim it one more time that Jesus gave his life on the cross. And because of that, we're new creatures in him. So, Lord, as we partake of this, let us celebrate it as we understand the meaning of it and the impact of it. We thank you. And not just the impact at the moment of salvation, but the impact of it right now, right here today, and every minute for all eternity. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.